Well, we have several that are not with us today because they are ill. We need to be praying for Charlotte. She's got bronchitis. Doing better, but having bronchitis. Also, Rob is going to be traveling to China this week. So we want to keep him in prayers. Sayonara. Oh. We want to keep him in our prayers as well. We also want to keep in prayers all those that are traveling in the deep snow. I know that Iowa is also being hit, and my sister and our son is up in Iowa. But hey, that's normal in Iowa. They know how to drive in snow in Iowa. So they're doing fine. We do want to encourage you to come tonight for the Super Bowl bash. We're going to have the Super Bowl about that size in the fellowship hall because we're going to use my projector and we're going to project it so that it's going to be a big screen. So it's going to be fun. We're going to have a fun time. So bring a chili or soup or a sandwich or a snack or something of that nature, and we'll just have a great time of fellowship as we watch the Super Bowl. Today we're going to continue in the series of sermons on dealing with life's situations. We've looked at dealing with adversity and anger. We've looked at how to handle guilt, how to handle rejection, and today we're going to talk about how to handle fear. Now, many of us don't think that we are fearful. We don't run around and we're not scared all the time. We're not fearful people as a rule. On the outward side, we portray a very easygoing, confident individual. But sometimes on the inside, we are fearful of things. We're fearful of the unknown. I know the other day that I had my back turned in my study. I was working on the screen, and there's this every time I change the message, I like to have the new message have the little blinker going around it. So you have to time it so that the blinker stops when the message stops. So I was kind of watching that, and I was timing that out and watching it so intently. And then Dwayne snuck in. He said he walked in, but he snuck in. And he got in my office and he goes, "Hey!" And I'm telling you what, my heart stopped. Oh, scared the bejeebers clean out of me. So I'm not talking about that kind of fear. There are things that we fear all the time. We fear poverty, not having enough money to keep us through our entire lifetime. We fear our health sometimes, having an illness. We fear losing a loved one. We fear rejection of others that we love and like. We have some fears that are deep down in our heart that we don't often talk about, but they are there nonetheless. I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to Isaiah. Isaiah, the 41st chapter. We live in a society that is dominated by fear. It used to be that we never locked our doors and windows. We never locked our cars. Years ago, 20 years ago, can I see your hand? If you left your door unlocked at home, we all left our doors unlocked at home, but let a few break-ins happen, and you start locking your doors, you start locking your windows, you start locking your car. Isaiah chapter 41. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Isaiah says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for the rain that we're getting, that it nourishes our earth. And we thank you, Father, for your love that you shower upon us through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And Father God, we thank you that we have a strength to draw upon in our times of need. And Father God, we pray that we might not be ruled by fear in our lives, but that we might see today how to conquer that fear and how, Father, you want us to live a life that is free from that fear so that we can live our lives to the fullest and enjoy the life that you've given us. Now, Father, we pray that you would speak to every heart that is here, and Father, that through this message you will be glorified. And we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there are some causes of fear. And that's the first thing that we need to look at, is the cause of fear. Sometimes it's because we have sinned. When we sin, we become fearful, believe it or not. Look with me at the very first sin back in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And in verse 9, God is saying, and he says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." See, when we sin, we will naturally become fearful because of the guilt that we feel through that sin. When we have done something that God has said don't do, we feel guilty and we feel as though God is there ready to put His thumb on us. And so sometimes the cause of our fear is because we have sinned. Now, not all fear is bad. Not all fear is bad. There are some good fears that we are to have in our lives. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. In Deuteronomy chapter 10. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul." That word fear does not mean to be afraid of. It does not mean that we are to run and hide because we have done something bad. That word fear means to have a holy reverence or a holy awe of who He is, and to reverence Him because of who He is. And that reverence is holy. Yes, it is a fear. Yes, God could snuff our life out with the snap of His finger. Yes, God could break us with one touch of His hand. But no, God doesn't want to break us. God does not want to harm us. God wants us to learn from our mistakes. And yes, He does discipline us. But what He wants to do is to bend our will in line with His will. He wants to simply bend us so that we will walk the path that He has chosen for us. Not all fears are bad. The holy fear that we should have of God is not bad. There is a protective fear that we should have. When you're walking in the desert and you hear the rattle of a rattlesnake, I'll tell you what, you need to watch where you're stepping. Amen? That's right. There is a fear that is protective of us. When the stove is hot, you know you don't want to touch it because it's going to burn you. There is a protective fear that is healthy in our lives. If we didn't have that protective fear, we would respond in the wrong way and we would end up hurting ourselves. Some of the fears that we have are not only protective fears, but they are natural fears for us. We are born with two fears. That fear is the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. When you hear a loud noise, sometimes you will jump. You take a little baby laying on their back and you take a hold of their little hands and you lift them up just a little bit and let go. They'll do this. Why? Because they got that sense of falling. You may not have even picked their shoulders up off of the bed, but if you pull up slightly on their hands and then let go, they'll do this. Why? Because they have a protective fear of falling. See, some fears are healthy for us. Other fears are not. There are some fears, and when we look at the basic causes of fears, we will see that some fears are taught. The fears that are taught will normally harm us. They're not healthy for us. They will harm us. Those taught fears are, don't go into the dark. The boogeyman will get you. How many ever heard something like that when you were a little kid? Yeah. Don't climb all the way up there. You're going to fall. Don't run with that pencil. You're going to poke your eye out. Well, Mom, I'm not running like this. Don't go in the water. You'll drown. Don't pet that dog. He'll bite. Our three grandkids from Troy were taught to fear dogs to the point that when they were younger, if there was a dog present and loose in the house, they would go crying, and they were so fearful that they would just cry uncontrollably and shake in their parents' arms. Now, Buster has rehabilitated them. Yes, he's a good dog. When he bites easy. Unless Dwayne's playing with him. Taught fears will damage you. As a little boy, before I ever went to school, my mother was a tremendously good mother. She was a school teacher. She loved us and would give her life for us. She never did anything with malice. But I can remember her telling us bed stories at night about the Fifi Bear. The Fifi Bear has one big eye right in the middle of his forehead. And he lives under your bed. And when you fall asleep, he eats your tummy button. Try to go to sleep after that story. Yeah, right. We were always awake at night. I was looking at my brother. My brother would be looking at me. And, do you see him? No, I don't see him. Well, you watch underneath there. My brother actually laid down beside the bed and laid there having guard duty against the Fifi Bear. Taught fear will damage you. There's another fear, and it's ignorance. Sometimes when you don't know the full truth about something, because you are ignorant in that area, you will become fearful. You're not willing to take that step of faith. You're not willing to go that distance or to try this out. Have you ever talked about to somebody and they don't like a particular food? And you'll say, have you ever tried it? And they'll go, no. Well, how do you know you don't like it if you haven't ever tried it? Our daughter-in-law, she doesn't like deer. She doesn't like deer. Have you ever tried it? No, I wouldn't eat a deer. Oh, no, 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 no. It's just gross in her mind. Barbecue ribs are great. Ignorance. Because we don't know the truth of God and who He is, sometimes we become fearful of God. We believe that when we sin, He's just sitting there ready to pounce on us because we've done something wrong. That's not what God wants. That's not God's desire. But because of ignorance, we now have a fear of God that is unhealthy. There are other causes of fear. Sometimes it's our imagination. You're at home, wee hours of the morning, and all of a sudden you hear a crashing of a window. Instantly you think someone's breaking into your house. You get the flashlight out and you start going through the house. Your imagination can really play tricks on you. Come to find out it's the wind's blowing and it blew a branch into your window and broke the window. I remember as a young boy, we had gone to church. Mom and Dad were gone for some reason. They had another function or something else going on. And so they had made arrangements with the neighbor who also went to our church to bring us home. So we came home, and we had a little sister that we had to watch over and make sure that she was safe. So my brother and I, when they dropped us off, we just walked into our house, and I look at him, and he looked at me, and we were both afraid. We thought somebody might be in our house, because it's a scary thing to come in into your house with no parent there. So rather than turn on the lights, we found flashlights. And then we took the butcher knives out of the carving set. And we went like Elmer Fudd through the house, telling our sister to stay back. We'll protect you. Not only did we clear the house, we cleared the garage. We went outside and cleared the barn. Cleared the hog house. Why? Our imagination was just wild. No, you stay back. If we don't come back in 10 minutes, they got us. We weren't trying to scare her, we were scared. Our imagination was just going. And we had the flashlights, and then pretty soon the batteries would run out. And it's like, don't stab me, my light's going dim. Imagination. Sometimes we imagine the worst rather than the best. Our imagination will never imagine the best. And see, that's a cause of fear. Sometimes our imagination is just running wild. I had the window of my Durango broke out last week. I stayed up Sunday night a little bit later than what Kathy did. And I'm watching TV, and all of a sudden Buster just went nuts. You know, I didn't think anything about it. And I said, good boy, there's nothing there, just calm down. Well, come to find out, next morning, glass is laying all over my driveway. Somebody broke into my Durango. Don't know what they were looking for, but they didn't get anything. There wasn't anything in there. So last night, we're sitting there watching TV, and Buster does the same thing again. Now, I didn't let him out the other night, and should have. So Kathy says, let him out. Okay, come on. Boy, he went charging outside, and then he went to our driveway, and he's looking at the neighbor because the neighbor had some visitors, and they were just out of the vehicle and walking up to their door. And so, I mean, he was going. He was after him. And it was like, no, that's enough. That's enough. Boy calmed right down. Our imagination sometimes will lead us astray, and it will be the cause of an internal fear that we have. Sometimes it's not only our imagination, sometimes it's doubt. We doubt God's protection. We doubt God's provision. We doubt God's plan in our lives. Kathy and I have been looking for a home that we can buy. And I'd like to be out in the country, but we'll settle for in town. If we could just buy something, and even if it's a foreclosure, I can fix it up and things like this. So we have looked at 3 or 4 places. And I'll find these places, and I go take her there and look at them, and the next time I go online, that place is gone. It's already sold. We've been praying, God, we trust you, but I really like that place. And now it's no longer there. God, I really like that place, and it's no longer there. So Kathy and I saw another place yesterday. Really good place. And Kathy says, you better hurry up and call that realtor. And I said, do we really need to hurry? If God's in it, we really don't have to hurry. Because if it's what God wants in our lives, and we're meant to have that house, it'll be there tomorrow, it'll be there next week, it'll be there next month. If God is God and His plan is for us to have that house, we can rest assured in His plan. We can rest assured in His provision for our lives. But because of doubt, we become fearful and we start to take things into our own hands. We start to take control of the situation so that we can control it. Because sometimes we doubt if God's truly on the throne, if God's truly looking after us, if God is truly wanting what is best in our lives. Doubt is a cause for fear. Sometimes it's a poor self-image. Sometimes because of a poor self-image, we have failed and we think that everyone else can do something better than what we can. And when another situation arises, we tend to withdraw from that because, well, the last time I tried it, I failed. And because of that poor self-image, we have a fear of trying to do anything new. We have a fear of taking that step of faith. We have a fear of venturing in areas that we've never been before. Poor self-image is a direct cause of fear. There's another cause of fear, and that is simply guilt. When we have had failures in the past and we feel so guilty about those failures, when we try something new, we think we're just going to fail again and we have guilt and we're ridden with guilt. So we just withdraw. And because of that guilt keeps us locked up and keeps us in bondage. And that guilt makes us fear the unknown. These are just a few of the causes of guilt. But there are some consequences that are enormous. And that's what we're going to look at next. The consequences of fear. Consequences of fear starts off with the fact that it stifles our capacity to think properly. We can't think properly when we are filled full of fear. It stifles that capacity to think and rationalize and act properly. Whenever you are facing the unknown, it's difficult. But if you are a person of faith, and you believe God is going to protect you and God is going to guide you and God is going to enable you and God is going to strengthen you and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I have no fear about that unknown thing. But see, when we're filled full of fear, it stifles the capacity to think properly. And let me tell you something. When you don't think properly, you have stinking thinking. You do. You have stinking thinking because everything is going through this grid of fear. And now you can't think properly. Sometimes the consequence of fear is simply indecision. You are fearful of making the decision because when you make the decision, it might be the wrong decision. Our eldest son, Nick, was the starting center for the basketball team when he was a sophomore in high school. Now, he was starting varsity as a sophomore, so he was playing. The other four players on the team were all seniors. So he was kind of an underclassman, whatever. He didn't have a lot of confidence to begin with. And they would pass him the ball and he would have an open shot to just pop it up on the board and have it go in. And he'd look at it and he'd pass the ball off. And they'd pass the ball back in, he'd open it and he'd pass it back off. And he'd get over here on this side and they'd pass him the ball, he'd look and pass it off. It's like, what are you doing, dude? What are you doing? I talked to him after the first couple games when he did that and he says, Dad, I'm afraid to shoot. He says, if I shoot, I might miss. Yeah. Yeah, you might miss. But you're going to win if you get the little round thing through the little round hoop. And your team is confident enough in you that they pass you the ball, and when you fail to take the shot that's there in front of you, you are failing your team. Take the shot. You know, you're going to miss 30-some shots, but you're going to make 10. So when you shoot and miss, check that one off. I only got 29 more. And when you shoot and miss, check that one off. I only got 28 more. Pretty soon you're going to get to that one basket that you make. And boy, you're going to feel good about that because you're supporting your team and doing what you're supposed to do. Indecision. You want ice cream tonight? Let's see. I don't know. What do you want? Indecision. She told me last night, well, make up your mind because I'm going to the freezer. Indecision will stifle you and stop you dead in your tracks. And that's a consequence of the fear. It also diminishes our capacity to achieve. God wants what is best in our lives. God wants us to experience life's joys. But when we have fear in our lives, and we have stinking thinking going on, and we have indecision going on, it diminishes our capacity to literally achieve what God is desiring in our lives. God wants us to achieve things, to give Him the glory for the things that we're able to achieve. Because He never calls us to do the things that we can accomplish. He calls us to do the things that we cannot do so that as He empowers, as He strengthens, as He enlightens, then it's accomplished and He's the one that's glorified. It diminishes our capacity to achieve. It also brings torment. Torment. I believe it's 1 John. I don't know that I have that on the screen, do I? No, I don't. I think it's 1 John. I'll find it here in a second. Chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I hadn't planned on this, but God just gave me this. 1 John chapter 4. This is what it says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torments. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. It actually brings a torment, and that word torment comes from phobias, meaning phobia. Having a phobia. How many of you are claustrophobic? Yeah, okay, you don't like tight places. How many of you are, and I don't know all the terms, are aquaphobic, I don't know, hydrophobic, whatever, you're afraid of the water. Yeah. How many are afraid of high places? Oh, Jeff goes, wham! How many are afraid to get out of bed in the morning? One. Okay. We all have these little phobias, and it comes from fear. It's a direct result of fear. It's a consequence of fear. And we get so driven by those phobias that when something comes up, and Jeff, I'm sorry, but we need the antenna changed on the church. Now, I climbed up there Thursday and saw that it's connected, but it's another 26 feet higher than the top of the building over here. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to get up there on a ladder. And I told Adrian, she was down here doing some books. I said, if I'm not back in 10 minutes, if you hear a big, you'll know I fell. I really don't like heights either. I was working at Conagra. We had a head house on the elevator. And that head house had a big old I-beam that stuck out there about 30 feet. And it had a latch on the snatch block pulley, and you'd take the cables and you'd go, and it would latch out there. Well, the block was broke, and it wouldn't stay out there. And every time we tried to drag the equipment up, because the crab was on the inside of the head house, it would pull that pulley back in, and then it would scrape the equipment up the side of the elevator 300 feet. That's not going to work. So I told one of the guys, I said, go out there and lop a chain around the end of that I-beam with that snatch block pulley. And they looked at me like, yeah, right. I said, you'll have a safety harness on with a safety line. It's no fears. They said, yeah, right. They said, you do it. And I said, okay, fine. So I put the harness on, had the safety line on. I'm shinnying out on this I-beam, have the log chain lopped around my neck like this. And those guys back there are acting like fools. They're pulling on the rope. Hey, Craig, don't fall. We got you. Anyway, I tucked my legs around it like this and leaned over and got the chain all lopped around it, got it all hooked out there, and I'm on my way back on that I-beam. And about two-thirds of the way back, I stop because I'm tired. The adrenaline's just been draining my body, and I'm tired. And so I just stopped, and I thought I would just look at the amazing sights. And I look out like this, and it's just fine. And I got a little closer, and I look clear down, and it's like, oh. Man, I'll tell you what. The phobia hit. And I was froze. And those guys didn't help. Come on! We got you! And I'll tell you what, it took me longer to take that last third than it did to go out, lop the chain on it, and come back two-thirds. I mean, like an inch at a time. Get enough strength to... I did what they call the cheek crawl. About a half an inch at a time. It was horrible up there. I still remember it. Phobias are a consequence of fear. And they will it will diminish our capacity to think properly. It'll make us have indecision. It'll diminish our capacity to achieve. We will also tend to panic. We'll panic. When we make decisions in panic mode, those decisions are normally wrong because they're not guided by a God that loves us. They're guided by our panic. And when we panic, we are literally reaching out for anything to help us and to save us. And we will take that first little bit of help that we can. And most of the time, we get in danger deeper because of our panic. I have experiences with panic, but I won't go into all that. We don't have all day. We also have damages to relationships. It damages our relationships with others because we're not thinking correctly, because we have all the indecisions, because we have that torment, because we can't achieve the way God wants us to achieve. It damages our relationships with others. Others don't get to see us for who we truly are. They don't get to see us for who God wants us to be. And it's a consequence of the fear that's in our lives. It also damages our relationship with God because we view Him in a skewed manner. It damages our relationship with God. When we first come to Him, we feel so good, and after we have made some wrong turns and did some things we shouldn't do, and we've got some phobias and some fears in our lives, and we don't take that step of faith, and we're quenching the Spirit when we don't take that step of faith, and pretty soon we don't hear Him as clear as we used to, it damages our relationship with Almighty God. Lastly, it steals from us. It steals our joy. It steals our contentment. It steals our happiness. It steals our capacity to simply enjoy life. How many would like to enjoy life fuller? Yeah. Okay, if you enjoy life fuller, that means you're going to have higher highs, but it also means you're going to have lower lows. Instead of being like this, it's going to be more like this. And that's okay. You know, we cannot appreciate the daylight if there was never any darkness. We can't appreciate the sunny days if there weren't some rainy days. We wouldn't have fresh flowers to smell unless there were some rainy days. And see, there are some flowers that God is wanting to bloom in our lives that can only be produced through the valleys of life. And in order to have the benefit that God wants us to experience, in order to have that life that is filled full of joy and contentment and happiness, to enjoy life to the fullest. In order to have that, we have to respond to God the proper way. We have to have a cure for this fear. And that's the last point. The cure for fear. Now, I wish there was a special prayer to pray. I wish there was a special something that you could do. But there isn't. It's not a hocus pocus, everything's going to be fine. That's not what it's about. First of all, you need to acknowledge that you are feeling fearful. Acknowledge the fear. You need to acknowledge that fear to Almighty God and say, God, I am feeling really apprehensive about this step you're wanting me to take. You need to acknowledge that fear. Secondly, you need to identify it. Is this something that I have learned? Is this an insecurity that I have? Is this because of a doubt that I have of Almighty God. You need to identify why you are fearful and where that fear is coming from. What is breeding this fear in my life? Why am I feeling no contentment? Why am I sensing no happiness or joy? God, why is it I'm always looking over my shoulder? God, why is it I feel fearful? Where is it coming from? So you acknowledge it, you identify it. Thirdly, you focus. That's the most important thing, is the focus. We're going to take a little journey through the Bible to look at focus. Turn with me to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Peter's going to walk on the water. In Matthew 14, beginning in verse 27, Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." In other words, don't be fearful. And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he focused on the wind, it says he saw the wind boisterous. He focused on the wind. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Focus is everything. When we acknowledge that we're fearful and we identify the fear and we begin to focus, God wants us to focus on the right things. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has given us the spirit to have power and to have love and to have a sound mind in order to think things through clearly. To not have stinking thinking. But if we focus on the problem rather than focusing on who God is, we will always have stinking thinking. We will always have the consequences of the fears that we have in our lives. God wants us to focus and to have that sound mind so that when a problem arises, we're not looking at the problem, we're looking at the solution. See, we will in this church either be problem solvers or we'll be problem makers. Hello? You still out there today? See, we will either be problem makers or problem solvers, and I want to be encompassed and surrounded by problem solvers rather than problem makers. You all know who they are, who you are. You are. You're all problem solvers. Amen? Amen. I can be a problem solver, but I can also be a problem maker. And I don't make any bones about it. I'll jump right in the middle of a problem. And a lot of times when I do, it just gets bigger. It's like a balloon. I jump in, the sides get bigger. Many times if I just keep my hands off of it, God will deflate the problem in His own way. God's given us the Spirit to have power and of love and of a sound mind. In Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Thou art with me. I will fear no evil because You're with me, God. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I think I have verse 8. Maybe just 9. Okay. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid." Notice these words. "And be not dismayed." Why does He say be not dismayed? Do you know what dismayed is? It means looking around at the problem. Don't focus on the problems, He says, "for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Focus is everything. So what is it we are to focus on? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we have gone full circle now back to our main text. Look at our main text once again. Isaiah 41. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you." Wow! He said that in the Psalms. He said that in Joshua. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you." And notice this, "and be not dismayed." Quit looking at the problem and look at the solution. Okay, God, so what is it I'm supposed to focus on? Well, He gives us a list. "For I am your God." I'm not someone else's God that you talk to once in a while. I am your God. I am not someone else's God that when you get in trouble, you ask them to pray for you. No, I am your God. I belong to you, and you belong to me. I am your God. Next slide. Next slide. Hit it. Hit it. There we go. Nope. Hope, hope, hope. All right. "I'm with you. I am your God." And notice what he says. "I will help you." In other words, I know you're going to have difficulties, so I'm going to help you along. I'm going to help you be victorious. Yes, he says. I'm going to help you. Not only that, he says, "I'm going to strengthen you." Wow. In other words, I knew I couldn't do this job. I'm not strong enough to do this job. But he says, "I'm going to be with you. I am your God. I'm going to help you, and I'm going to strengthen you." Wow. And then he says, "I am going to uphold you with my right hand of righteousness." Wow. Now we have a different focus. Amen? We're no longer dismayed. We're no longer looking at the winds because the winds were boisterous. We're no longer looking at all of those that can pass against us. And Elijah says, "Open his eyes that he might see that they that be for us are much more than they that be for them. Be not dismayed, for I am with you. I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. And I will hold you up." You know what that up, holding you up means? He's going to undergird you. He's going to hold you up when you can't walk any further. He is going to hold you up when you can't think of the solution. He's going to hold you up when you and your own strength weaken. That's why Paul said, "I besought the Lord 3 times to take this thing away from me." But he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for in your weakness I am made strong." Wow. Focus is everything. When you focus on the God of this universe that breathed the breath of life into you, when you focus on the one that gave His life so you'd have eternal life, when you focus on Him, your problems then come into proper perspective. Lastly, we need to have faith. We need to have faith. You know, when we have that stinking thinking, we're not having faith. Because, see, faith is the opposite of fear. We cannot have fear in our lives and have faith in our lives in the same way. No. We will either be people of fear or we'll be people of faith. And when you're people of faith, you can focus on the things that God desires. But when you're people of fear, you'll always be dismayed. You'll focus on the situations. And we'll say, "We can't do those things. We don't have enough people." Or, "We can't do those things. We can't afford that." Oh, "We can't do those things." If God is truly going to use us in 2015, we need to be people of faith. That's why we simply need to trust in Him that He has the solution to what He is desiring in our individual lives. acknowledge, identify, focus, and walk by faith. In closing, there was a man that took a ship cruise, and the cruise ship came into a storm and went down, and this man is on a deserted island now, and he lost most of his belongings, and he's seen some stuff wash up on shore, and well, he has gone and he's found some fresh water, and he's able to eat some bananas and some figs, and once in a while he's able to eat a few crab that are coming up on the shore. And so he's there for a long time, and he decides he's going to build himself a shelter, a hut. And so he builds himself a shelter and a hut simply to provide himself some comfort from all the elements. So he's out one day, and he's trying to get some water, and find some bananas, something to eat, and he comes back, and a spark from his fire has now ignited his hut. And his hut is in the process of being completely consumed by fire. And he goes, God, this is the last straw, God. I'm shipwrecked. I'm on a deserted island. I can't hardly take care of myself, God. This was the only thing that was going to provide me some shelter from the elements, God. I don't understand. God, why? Why? The one thing I needed, you took away. God, why? So he went to sleep that night, and the next morning he's awakened by the sound of a ship. He runs to the shore and he waves, and they see him and he hears the again. Hey, that works pretty good. I like that. Buster, be quiet. So he gets to the ship and he said, How did you know I was here? And they said, we saw your smoke signal. Sometimes when our hut is on fire and we think God has just taken away the last thing that we truly needed, it's that fire that is summoning the grace of God. That's how you conquer fear. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are a God that loves us, a God that would die for each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, as our worship team comes, that we can have a time of invitation with you. And Father God, we pray that we might not be people of fear, but that we might be people of faith. And Father God, we thank you that you are a God that loves us so much and wants so much from us and through us, that you will allow us to go through the valleys of life. And Father God, we thank you for that, because it makes us stronger for you. And now we pray, Father, that you will be with us through this invitation. In Jesus' name, let's all stand.